Does marketing your handmade products stress you out? Do you feel like you have to get it perfect and that stops you from doing things at all? Instead of thinking of it that way, in this episode, number 3 of the Business of Making podcast, we're going to flip the script and actually encourage you to actively treat marketing as an experiment and show you exactly how to do it.
Do you want to make it as a maker? This is the Business of Making podcast with your hosts, Michaela Denvers, Deb Engelmeyer, and Jess Van Den.
We know from experience that growing a handmade business is bloody hard work. We're here to make it a little bit easier for you by dishing out reality-based, no BS, tried and tested advice on how to make your business work.
Tune in every week for an honest conversation on what it really takes to make a creative business a success.
G'day everyone, welcome to the Business of Making podcast. I'm Jess.
Hey, I'm Michaela.
And this is Deb.
And we are here today to help you work out how to make your business a success if you are a maker specifically. So today we're talking about marketing. And we want to talk about marketing from a very specific perspective. And that is seeing marketing as an experiment. I'm a big fan of, well, I think everything's an experiment, really, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Life is an experiment.
And so is marketing. But looking at it that way, I think, is really helpful because we can get stuck in this, oh, it has to be done this way. You know, people will say, to be successful on Instagram, you must do A, B, C in order at the right times. Mm-hmm. And it's rubbish. Really?
It's rubbish.
I think we should have called our podcast like Calling Out Rubbish because I feel like we're always going like, it's rubbish.
It's real talk here, people. Real talk. How many years? 20-something years of experience we're bringing here. So, yeah, seriously, there is no one right answer for anything when it comes, well, for anything when it comes to business, but especially marketing. There are absolutely strategies and tactics and tools. But what you need to always remember is that what works for somebody else might not work for you, or it might not be a good fit for you personally or for your business. Like, let's just start with Instagram as an example, right? Because that seems to be like the big thing, especially in our industry. You know, mm-hmm. Everyone's on Instagram. It's the platform du jour. However, what if you hate Instagram?
Mm-hmm. What if your audience hates Instagram? What if your audience is not there? Then you can do all the strategies you like and it's not going to result in sales.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the thing about not liking it is a big deal because, like, you're just not going to do it. And then that's actually a criteria for decision. Like, can I actually comment on posting once a day on Instagram? If you hate it and you can't, you're not really up there with your pictures as well, like maybe your photography needs a bit of improvement, then maybe it's not a great time to start Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So don't get this feeling like, one, you have to do everything, or two, that you have to be on a platform to be successful. So here's a little behind the scenes snippet for you. With my jewelry business, Aferial, I have an Instagram and a Facebook page. Do you know how often I post to these things? very rarely. They're not a central part of my marketing strategy because of my business. We specialize in sterling silver wedding bands. Therefore, we don't focus on return customers. Like, we get some, hopefully not for, well, you, okay. So we get some, usually.
Hopefully not many.
The most common reason is because a dude has lost his wedding band on honeymoon, usually in the ocean. Let this be a lesson to everybody. So we do get that, you know, and we do sell other stuff. You know, we sell earrings and necklaces and whatnot. And we do have return customers for those, sure. That is not the core of our business. The core of our business is bringing in new people to buy a special item. Mm-hmm. Where do we get those people from? Search and Pinterest. Those are the two places that give us those new people. That's where they come from. When somebody, and even with that business, I'm going to commit a cardinal sin here, but even with Aferial, with that business, our mailing list really isn't that effective or important. Again, because we're not focusing on return or repeat customers.
I think that point is so important, and it's not specifically what we're talking about today, but it, again, like harking back to our previous episode of following things that people say that you should be doing, you know, and people say, well, your mailing list is your number one thing. You have to grow your mailing list. You have to start a mailing list right now. But if you're not actually focusing on repeat customers, then that's probably not what you need to be doing. Like exactly as you say, Jess, because I would say for makers and sellers of physical products, the number one reason you have a mailing list is to bring your customers back after they've already made a purchase. So if they're not going to come back and buy another wedding ring a couple months later, then yeah, that's definitely not something you should be focusing on. And again, it comes back to experimentation of what works for you and how that links to your objectives. Like, what are you actually trying to achieve?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Which brings the point of like science, which I think is like, that's kind of what I had in mind when we were like recording this episode. I was like, well, we are recording this episode now. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I live in the future, you guys. I was really thinking about, you know, metrics, hypotheses, like what are you testing? What's working? How do you know if it's working? Because I found like what the problem more often than not is I'd ask students or people I'm working with, okay, what's working, what's not working? Because they're like, my marketing's not working. I'm not getting traffic. I'm not getting sales. And the first question I usually ask is it a traffic problem or conversion problem? Mm. And if you're not able to tell me what your traffic to your, you know, page, be it on Etsy or on your website or wherever is, and how many sales you got from that traffic, then we need to start to first implement some analytics, which I know you guys are rolling your eyes at me right now and going, oh, she said a word that I don't like, metrics, analytics, all that stuff.
We have our fingers up like, yes.
Because it's like, you know, you need to have data. Oh no, another wrong word. we're losing subscribers here, guys. I'm sorry. But
listen,
it's
to the nerds.
True. Like, you know, what do you base your decision on? And I think that's a part that I love about business that's, you know, well, I guess not sadly, because that means I get to do that for a living, but a lot of people don't like, and that's where I love to come and help. It's like, okay, well, we need to have some data to actually base on this decision on and go, okay, it's the traffic problem. Therefore, that's what we need to be working on. Yes. And then you need to go deeper than that. Where is your traffic coming from? Is it Pinterest? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? If you don't know, then how are you saying, oh, I don't think Instagram is working for me, but you're not tracking how many people are coming from Instagram to your shop.
It's so true. I have a lot of people come and say, well, Facebook ads don't work. And I'm like, okay, well, who are you targeting? Where are you sending them? What are your conversions? And they're like, what? What's targeting? And what's, you know, they just don't know stuff. So
what's the Facebook pixel?
Yeah. Part of the problem is actually being able to identify where the problem is, because people sort of have this broad, vague idea of what a problem might be for them. And generally it's not getting enough sales, or I don't know how to do my marketing, or marketing's not working. But we need to actually go way, 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 way deeper and figure out where that problem is coming from, and then be able to like test and analyze and all that kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's where the whole scientific method comes from. You set a hypothesis, right? You know, is this working? Is it not? So for example, doing an experiment, this is why I love doing these sorts of experiments, a 30-day experiment, right? Because you've got to give it time. You can't just do something for 2 days and go, oh, it's not working. You know, you have to give it, especially if it's SEO, 60 days, because you need it to let it time for it to go through the system. So you go, okay, here's the experiment I'm going to do. I'm going to do X for Y amount of time. Now I'm bringing algebra into it. Oh my God.
Oh man.
Okay, here's a simple one I've done before. I'm going to renew 5 products on Etsy every single day for 30 days. And then I'm going to see what happens to my traffic in that time compared to, hopefully, if you have the data, well, this time last year, and the year before, but also to the month before and the month after. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Is it going to make to my? And here's where you set your parameters: my traffic, my conversions, i.e., how much of that traffic turns into sales, etc. And then you track it, and then you go back and you have to do the analysis at the end. You know, my hypothesis was that renewing products on Etsy would result in more sales. Did I prove or disprove my hypothesis? Did it result in more sales? And if so, yay. And why? Was it because I just got more traffic and then I made more sales? Oh, and here's another one. Don't change two parameters at the same time.
Oh, my God, please. I've done this a million times, especially with, like, Facebook ads. You're like, oh, shit, okay, so this ad's not working. It's costing me, like, $17 a pop.
Yeah.
You like, I changed the image and the text and the targeting. I'm like, well, now I have no idea.
Yeah.
I never do that anymore.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Etsy experiment and change all your images at the same time. You're not going to know which one worked. One thing at a time, people.
Yeah.
And don't do paid traffic generally if you don't have analytics as well. Like,
yes, because there's no point. You have no idea whether it's working or not.
You are literally throwing money away.
Yeah, if you spend $100 on ads and you get two sales, so you say, oh, yes, well, that worked because I sold $200 worth of stuff. Well, no, like you don't even know if those sales came from that ad. Like they could have come from somewhere completely different. So
yes.
you have to be tracking this stuff to know whether it's working or not.
But on the flip side, you know, with things like traffic and marketing, I have people who are like, I've gotten 1,000 visits over the month to my shop and I've only made 10 sales. That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's
like that's like awesome. Like 1% conversion, fine.
Yeah, and that's I had a student ask me. She's like, I'm just not really making enough sales. I'm like, okay, well, what's your traffic? And she said, I'm getting about 100 visits a week and I'm only making one or two sales. She said two or three sales. I'm like, that's amazing. Yeah. Like, if you want to get more sales, you just need more traffic. So.
Yeah. I think it's because we focus, you know, when you launch your website, the thing you look at is like, are people visiting it? Like, you know, and you get so excited when you start seeing that you're getting 100, 1,000 and then more and more visits to your shop. And so you're sort of expecting that the sales are going to follow. Mm. And no one really tells you until you're there that, oh, by the way, conversion rate is usually 1%. So don't get too excited. And it's a hard truth, but it is. So I think that's why it's because we focus on traffic so much and then we forget the conversion aspect as well.
Well, there's just so many moving parts, isn't there? Yeah. And the thing with the testing is you have to test one thing at a time, as you were saying, Jess.
Like,
there's traffic and then there's your copy and then there's your images and then there's your, you know, your product descriptions. Do you have your messaging correct? Is there something happening on your website that's actually blocking people from buying? Like, what are the barriers to purchasing? All of that stuff.
So many stories about like, that.
And you can't change them all at once because then you have no idea what thing was working and what thing was not working.
Oh, technology, we're all just like shaking our heads. Like we've all had this. The customer who's emailed me, I tried to buy this thing, but it's not working. And I'm like, oh my God, the PayPal button's not working because I accidentally changed the code or I clicked this button and then it went through and it was wrong. And then I've had to test it. And I'm like, oh my Lordy Lord. So, you know, if you're using something like Etsy, for example, well, that's great in that you don't have to worry about the back end stuff.
Yes, it's all done for you. Taken
care of before you. So that reduces the variables, you know, things like worrying about the sort of shopping cart. So, you know, when you're setting up a website, you've got to make sure that your shopping cart experience is good for the buyer so they don't abandon cart. Mm-hmm. I literally changed to a new shopping cart software for my website recently because the cart on the old one was driving me insane and it gets updated over time and it was not good anymore. And I'm like, that's it. I'm sure I'm losing sales over this. And if you have good software, you'll be able to see if you are because you can look at the cart section and see where people are running away, why, you know, have they gotten that far and not got further. That tends to tell you there's probably an issue either with your shipping, if you hadn't told them earlier, or with some other aspect of your cart. So there's so many, like you said, Mick, there's so many moving parts. There are so many elements. We're obviously not just talking about marketing now, but our business in general, but it is seeing it, you know, you have to be willing to see it long-term, look long-term and work on these things one by one and give them the time to succeed or fail because some of them will fail, but that's
fine.
That's good. It's data.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yes, it's data.
And I'd say if you are listening to us now and you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not quite there yet, you should have been tracking this stuff yesterday.
Yeah.
And so to me, that means that even in especially paid ads, I go back to it again because usually people jump into it. And again, last week, again, I was talking to one of my students, which was asking, what's the Facebook pixel? Like, how do I install this thing on my site? Because I want to know if my ads are working or not. And I'm like, are you currently running ads? without tracking them. Like, what is, you know, it's just so dangerous. You can't be doing that. And so I would say install this stuff before you even think that you're ready for it. It's okay to have like the Facebook pixel on your site without actually running ads for like 6 months or a year if you don't want to. But then when you are ready to, you've got all that data to use. And then same for your website as well. If you're just, you just open and you're like, literally only my mom knows my website exists and I don't even know if she visited it, then still put your Google Analytics pixel. I'm going to call it a pixel too. It's not called like that, but it's the same thing, to actually have that data when you're ready and get in the habit of tracking it. Even if for the first few months it's depressing because you're like 12, 15 people have visited, 100. But, you know, get into the habit every month like you do your finances and bookkeeping, because hopefully you're doing that too.
That's a whole other episode.
It's important stuff. Like, it's so important, you guys.
It is. Take it from someone who sucks at it. It's very important to do that all the time.
Oh, and I'm saying that, like, I sucked at it for a while for my own stuff, which is funny because, like, even my marketing jobs and when I was doing consulting for people, that was my job, like tracking PPC campaigns and stuff like that. And I was really good at doing them for them because I was getting paid for it. And when I launched my own site, I was like, oh, this stuff's kind of boring. I don't really, you know, I really want to do it. Like, that's kind of why I wanted to stop working on this stuff, so that I wouldn't have to do it. But then you still have to do it for yourself. And once you do, you start realizing, you know, you notice things. Like, for me, for example, Pinterest lately, Board Booster, which was an app that you could use to like make magic with your Pinterest account, closed down. And I didn't pay attention for a while. And then I dived into my analytics one day and I freaked out because I was like, I have lost so much traffic over me not taking care of my Pinterest account lately. Like, it was the biggest traffic driver to my site and it dropped considerably because I just wasn't paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it allowed me to sort of like go back into this, make some changes, do some new processes, and now I'm back on track. And without actually checking on that, I don't even want to know what would have happened.
But that can be, it can kind of horrify you when you miss those things for a while and you go back and go, oh my God, if I'd just only been doing this thing, you know, this one thing, like, well, renewal on Etsy. Yeah. I've been on Etsy for 10 years next month, right? I still don't remember every day to renew stuff, and I know it still works, and I, you know, I should be doing it every single day, but you get busy and you forget about stuff and then you're like, oh crap, I really need to get back on the wagon with that, because there are 11 billion things that we need to be remembering and keeping moving paths for. So that's the other thing with this sort of thing, you know, keep records, records of these experiments, so you don't reinvent the wheel and go back and do the same thing over again. Or if you do, you're changing another variable.
I think a good little template for you guys to use would be to always sort of like, and it doesn't have to be like, like a spreadsheet. It can literally be a little piece of paper where you just write, what do I believe is going to happen? Like, I believe that renewing my items will increase my sales. And then what do I do to verify it? You know, well, I'm going to renew my items every day for a month or 30 days or whatever. And then what am I measuring? So like my parameters or metrics or whatever funky word you want to use. Numbers, like actual, you know, quantitative data, am I going to have to measure that? And then am I right or wrong? Like, did I prove it to be wrong or not?
Absolutely. And if you don't want to do that yourself, we got you covered. Head on over to thebusinessofmaking.com/experiment and we've got a little download for you that has all of that stuff there. So you can just download it, use that worksheet, work through it, and yeah, it'll save you a bit of time trying to put your own thing together. So that was thebusinessofmaking.com/experiment. And you'll be able to get that download from us.
Wonderful.
So awesome. Now, of course, this is something that's close to my heart because I am a scientist by training and quite a nerd. So I'm really passionate about this thing, and I'm really passionate, you guys, that you just go and dive into it. And, you know, it should be kind of fun. I don't know. I find this stuff fun. Do you guys find this fun?
It's all about, it's learning, right? Like, and it's fun when you do it correctly, because then you actually can do something with the outcome. If you don't know what's not working and you're trying to do this testing or experimenting, but you're changing too many things at once, you can't then do anything with the answers, like, because the answers aren't clear. You don't know what to change. Whereas if you know, it's your crappy images that are like letting everything else down, and you change them and then it's amazing and all of a sudden your ads work, then it's like, yes, that's amazing. And then you can go on to the next thing and test the next thing. And, you know, you're just constantly optimizing your business. And that's kind of how, you know, you get forward momentum and you start rolling, you start scaling. So that's what we're all here for, to try and make that happen.
Yeah, I think if you don't find it fun, you're at least going to find that it's stress relieving. Like, it's like when I know I'm very much like a plan person. Like, I'm very much, I get super overwhelmed. I'm like, oh my God, I've got all these ideas. Like, I can't, my brain is going to explode. And then I take a notebook and an hour and I just kind of draft it out and go, okay, this is what I do first, this is what I come second. And then this is kind of like this weight off your shoulder, because you're like, okay, I know what I'm doing. And it's that feeling when you have that on your business, you're like, okay, I know what I'm trying to do, I know what I'm testing, it makes sense. And if someone asks me what's working for you, you're not just going to go, I have no idea. Because that's the problem too, actually. Something we didn't mention is, like, we look at these things thinking, oh, you want to know what's not working so you can fix it. But also, what if you don't know what works? Mm-hmm. And then that's very dangerous, because you don't know how to double down on that. Like, what if it turns out you think Pinterest is great for you, but you didn't notice that your Instagram is really picking up? You may be not having that many followers, but people are really clicking through to your website from there. Then maybe it's going to be interesting for you to double down on Instagram, or maybe start paying for ads on Instagram and just kind of pivot your strategy towards that platform. And if you don't know what's working, and you just, it's actually probably even worse, honestly, because it's an opportunity.
Yeah, you really need to be able to identify what's working just as much as what's not working. Because as you say, you got to really focus on that then to grow it. Like, if something's working and you're making sales from that, like, do more of that. Do more of the thing that's working, for sure.
And finally, don't forget that things change. Don't think that because you've got something sorted now that it's going to be the same in 5 years' time or even a year's time.
5 minutes,
You just be aware that, you know, especially if you are using third-party platforms like Etsy, for example, they might tweak something or change something that could affect your traffic and your business. So you need to be aware of that stuff and aware of any changes. You know, keep on top of, you know, if you're using a platform like Shopify or Etsy or whatever, subscribe to their update emails, like whatever they have that'll give you the behind the scenes stuff. This is what we're doing, this is what's happening. And make sure that you're aware of that stuff so that you can make changes if necessary. And don't put all your eggs in one basket at the end of the day as well. You know, make sure, I think everybody should have at least kind of two marketing channels that are working for their business. For example, don't just do Instagram and nothing else, because what if Instagram dies tomorrow? They could shut it down.
They could shut it down. You don't own Instagram. You do not own your Instagram account, and there's no way you can contact those people that are following you.
Exactly. Yeah. So bringing them into some, and this is where we cycle back to mailing lists and why mailing lists are powerful. Even if, you know, like me, you don't have a lot of repeat customers, I still have those people there if I launch something new or whatever, or to let them know I'm going on holiday or whatever it might be. That's literally the only way you own those people's details, is having a mailing list. So that is why that is useful. But also, you know, if you've got traffic coming in from multiple locations, if one of those traffic sources has a hiccup, your whole business isn't going to fall apart. Well,
one last thing I want to say before I think we can probably wrap this up, unless you ladies have more to say. But I actually just found a little post-it under my computer that was a little note that I forgot to talk about. So I was like, oh, I forgot to say that. And it read, failing is a success, which I was like, oh, that's woo-woo, Deb. But the idea is not that it's woo-woo. It's actually, it's that when you experiment like that, it makes failing, like failed experiments, sort of like an actual good thing. Because instead of going, yeah, exactly, it's an accomplishment. It's something you know doesn't work. Bam, got rid of that. I don't have to do it again. Something that you did not know 2 months ago. And I think it's important to reframe that, because a lot of people are like, oh, this isn't working and I tried this and it didn't work. And I'm like, awesome, because now we know that doesn't work for you. And so we're not going to be focusing on it, and we can move to the next hypothesis.
Yeah.
So have fun with it in that way as well. And don't feel like because, you know, you try this thing for a month and you didn't get results, it's a bad thing. It's actually, it's good. You're making progress.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. Remember, go grab that worksheet at thebusinessofmaking.com/experiment, and we got you covered. So if you enjoyed this episode, we would love it for you to click that subscribe button. Make sure you don't miss any future episodes. And of course, if you're new, welcome. We have
older episodes on all sorts of topics, so go have a listen to those as well. And we would love to hear from you what you thought about this episode. So there are a couple of ways you can do that. Number one, head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review about this episode, or come and join us in our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and The Business of Making, and you can come and tell us what you thought of the show and give us your experiments. Share what you've done in your business, what has worked for you and what other people might like to try. And see you next time.
Cool. See you later.
Au revoir.
We get some, hopefully not. For, well, you, okay. So we get some. Usually,
hopefully not many.
Usually,
somebody.
Okay.
Oh,